Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Ryan, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right also.
Sounds good.
Well, we've got our favorite guest with us today, Aaron Bledsoe. We're going to talk grain. Well,
you said Glenn was our favorite guest.
Yeah, but Glenn, Glenn doesn't know what we tell everybody. but Aaron, we got to start with the question of the day. And this is about roller coasters, right?
Or any other thrill ride.
Tell us about your favorite, or maybe not favorite, thrill ride experience at an amusement park.
I'd have to go to this time last year.
And we might want to just eliminate that. If it's a bad experience, let's eliminate the names of the park or the ride, maybe. We're not doing a PSA here.
That's why you're in management. That's right. Don't go to fill in the good. Blank.
So go ahead.
So my daughter started school last year for the first time, you know, and daddy had a soft spot in his heart and wanted to do one last big thing before she started school. So
this is kindergarten.
We did an impromptu. Yeah. Yep. Did an impromptu trip down to Florida. And so Epcot had this new ride, Guardians of the Galaxy. And we weren't sure if she was going to be big enough to ride. Well, she made it. And she had, you know, a couple inches to spare. Yeah.
Shoot.
So this is a full blown roller coaster where the vehicle that you're in not only goes through a normal roller coaster, but spins at the same time.
And a child.
So you're going forward,
them?
But you're spinning and looking all around you. Oh. So we got a little nervous when she was like, "Oh yeah, you know, I get to ride." And she was stoked. Then we get strapped in. She got a little nervous. And she rode with my wife right in front of me, and I'm behind her in the next car with some random person, and all I can hear the entire ride was a 6-year-old squealing at the top of her lungs. But it wasn't like a frightful scream. She was loving every minute of it. The only time it stopped was when she ran out of oxygen and had to take a breath. The picture was phenomenal. I felt bad for anybody else with us because she was louder than the ride, but she thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And that's at that cool. moment I knew I was in trouble because
she's hooked.
I used to love roller coasters, but now they mess with me more. It takes me a little bit afterwards to get come back down to earth without spinning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good though. Well, now she's hooked. Now you always have a riding partner if she wants one. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You're good.
Ryan.
Well, so mine wasn't a great experience. So I was at an amusement park, and our kids were much smaller than they are today, obviously. But anyway, Travis wants to ride this ride, and it is one of these. It's not a roller coaster, but it's one that takes you way up high and then drops you without warning, and then it takes you back up and drops you without warning. So you sit down in the seat, and the bar comes down over you, and they clip it in between your legs like a seatbelt. So obviously me being one who is, I'm not a fan of heights and or a lot of that kind of stuff. I began to push against that, just see what kind of resistance is against this thing. So I get into it, I lean into it, I pop it loose. And so the guy who's walking around checking it, I was like, I was just able to pop that loose. And he was like, "Oh, it's fine." He said, it sometimes that happens. No, that's not an answer. That's not an appropriate answer. He's like, "It'll be fine." So he buckled it back in. He goes, "Try it again." So I pushed on. Well, I couldn't make it go. And Travis, you know, he's wanting to ride. So I'm like, it's probably just like a little one-off. So I did end up riding it at that point in time. But it was, that was sketchy.
Jeez.
I mean, he clipped it and then I was able to bust it loose. But, and then like a moron went ahead and rode it. But
was this like at a county fair or something?
No, it was not. No, it hadn't been on the interstate an hour before that. It had been there for a long time.
Oh my God.
It's been there every time I've been to that amusement park, by the way. But, so they did not roll it off a semi truck and unfold it. This is a real ride. So it worked out fine, but scary nonetheless for a minute. But he's like, "It'll be fine. You can't do that again." And he was right. I didn't. All turned out well. But I'm still not sure where the fortitude came to actually ride it. But looking back on it, I'm not sure that I would ever do that again. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, mine is, and it's the same park, maybe a different area. But no, I think it was one of those parks in Florida. I can't remember which one. whichever one has Harry Potter. We're not a roller coaster family, but we were down there on vacation, and this has only been about 2 or 3 years ago, and they had a Harry Potter ride, and they had a little, I saw in the line, there were some little kids in there. I mean, there were smaller kids, and I'm like, well, this is going to be an easy ride because they've got these little kids in the line. And Kate was like, I don't know. This is a roller coaster. I was like, it's not a roller coaster because look at the little kids. They had like toddlers. And and so we get all the way up to the front, and there is a parent handoff or a child handoff where you got the parents. They don't take the child on the ride.
Oh, one steps across and takes the kid and the other one rides? Yeah.
Yes, and then that one comes back if they don't die. And they get that child. That way you don't lose both parents at the same time.
Or maybe you just don't leave your kid with a stranger while you're gone for 90 seconds. I'd say that's more of it. I don't know that it's an insurance thing where you don't lose both parents. I don't think that's it.
So we get on that ride, and it's like, I mean, I knew it was real trouble when that harness came down. And, I mean, it wasn't like your experience. This was going nowhere. And you buckled in like a fighter pilot, and I was like, this can't be good. And, I mean, it went and Aaron, kind of like what you said, it kind of spun and leaned and went down and up. And at one time there was a dragon coming out here, and just not a good experience overall. Couldn't reach my pocket knife. I mean, I didn't have no way to defend myself.
That's so good.
Yeah. So ended up, she enjoyed it. And I was like, no, I don't ever want to do that again. So
just remember when you ride with Sal that there will be an unencumbered pocket knife in front of that. Not only do you have to worry about the safety of the ride, you might also have somebody with a pocket knife wielding it out there too. So, yeah, not good. Well, I thought that'd be a good question. And Aaron's the only one that had a good experience on one. So I have had a lot of good experiences on them, and I do enjoy them to some extent. But the older I get, the less I'm willing participant.
Yeah.
So anyway, Aaron, obviously here we are.
Here we are.
We saw beans go down 20 cents yesterday, and we've been in a market here that's not been terribly favorable, and we're dealing with a weather forecast that has been pretty favorable and a crop that doesn't look horrible. So, play that out for us. What are you thinking? We're a month or so away from combines, the very earliest combines. Let's just say we're 6 weeks from getting very started into it. But what are you thinking between now and then? We got bushels sitting out there. And thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head with the timing part of it. We're just running out of time for a lot of stuff to get done. On June 28th, they had the quarterly stocks report come out, and we had 37% more corn on the farm versus last year at that time. It's just a lot more bushels that we still have to figure out what to do with before we start harvesting. And we're 4 to 6 weeks out on some of this early planted stuff, and time is just not in our favor right now for seeing any kind of real positive action in the market right this second is what it feels like.
Well, that's a good way to put it. I mean, if you're waiting for an event, I mean, we are looking at, we're awful close to harvest, and there's not many things that can happen. There certainly can be, though. Glenn Longaball was on here, and he kind of reminded us that, those things can happen quick, and whatever those are. I think one of the good news is, even if we do have a lower crop commodity prices, the yields, at least in our neck of the woods, are going to be pretty good. I mean, we've had good moisture, and I think we're going to, we've done a lot of fungicide. We treated the crop well. It looks really good in some areas. And so we're going to have a lot of grain, but it looks like other people are going to have a lot of grain too.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest news headline right now is that, a couple of weeks ago we were going into this thing and we kept seeing forecasts of warmer weather, warmer than normal. So hot weather, which is always favorable in a supply type of market where we'll get some weather premium built in. Well, the forecasts have changed, and we're not seeing that long dry heat that they thought. So we're seeing favorable conditions, and we're seeing that in the crops progress. And I think that's one of the biggest headlines. You know, when you think about what really determines prices nationally, I mean, you always talk about the three I's, and Illinois and Iowa are both just blistering past last year as far as what the crop looks like. You know, beans, Illinois is 26% more good to excellent than they were last year. Iowa is 21% more than what they were last year for beans. Overall nationwide, you know, we're 15% ahead compared to last year on good to excellent ratings. Corn, Illinois and Iowa, they're both 27 and 17% more than last year respectively. So we're staring down the barrel of a really good crop. I mean, the potential is there. And we had talked about the yield maybe dropping. That's what a lot of the estimators out there and people in the trade were thinking, is that ultimately we see that 181 drop down to that 177 to 178 range is what I think a lot of people were hoping for. Right now, it seems like the tune's really changed. They're really thinking we might actually hit this 181 plus benchmark for corn. And when you look at the crop progress every single week, you have a hard time arguing that it's going to be any lower. The one glimmer of hope I think that we have right this second, or that could play out, is the corn acreage harvested number comes down. No one really is aware or knows what the USDA is going to do in this August report with that number because of the flooding in Iowa and the flooding in eastern Nebraska. So we'll see how that plays out. But net, it's going to be hard to change the overall picture for corn and beans right this second. You know, beans have their own dynamic with the soybean oil market and this whole verified used cooking oil being allowed to import instead of using domestic soybean oil for jet fuel and biodiesel and things like that. So there's some turmoil going on there. Anytime you hurt the soybean oil market, you're going to hurt the soybean market itself. And to Ryan's point, you know, we were down 20 some yesterday. We were actually down 40 at some point during the low of the day. And today we're following that right back up with a down another 17 to 20 cents. So we're just losing out on time. And the market feels very burdensome with the bushels right this second.
Of that 37% that was on the farm on June 28th, have you seen it? I mean, you got your own facility that you're dealing with. Have you seen a lot of that shake loose yet? Or, I mean, has there been resistance to even move it at these numbers? Or did they finally throw in the towel on some of those?
I think there's resistance to move it. Now, that was a surveyed thing. So there's always that big question mark of, were those bushels priced and they just haven't moved yet?
Sure.
Or are they completely unprotected on the farm? You know, and we went from March, where the off-farm storage was less than that time last year, to in June, where off-farm, or like your commercial storage facilities, went to more than this time last year. So before, I think all the balls were in the farmer's court as far as not moving anything. I think there was some movement because you saw that off-farm storage increase. So that tells me, you know, if I think about it just logically, that says the farmer probably moved some, and off-farm storage is now holding some. And really, for commercial people, there's carry back in the market. So they're not as afraid of getting hung with this stuff as they were the last couple of years with an inverted market. So the nearby price is going to be the weakest price now in these types of markets. You know, we've switched from an inversion to a carry market, and that's a different dynamic. We haven't seen that for a couple of years. So we're going to have to get back and we're going to have to train our minds to get more into that thought process again.
Okay. Well, you are making some improvements. Want to tell us a little bit about some of the improvements you're making to the, facility?
You're gearing up for a big crop.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We're trying. You know, we've been blessed. You know, our farmers have been blessed, customers have been blessed, and they've blessed us with being able to continue to grow. we're adding over 500,000 storage here at Ligoti, and we're adding that up at our Columbus facility too. So we're trying to help as much as we can in whatever situation we're in. So whether that's an inversion, where there's smaller crops or big crops in carry markets, we're trying to do our best to manage it for everybody.
Demand wise nationwide, Aaron, you talked a little bit about the soybean oil that's coming back in for sustainable aviation fuel that's actually being imported back into the country where ours are not being used. I mean, markets for ours then, I mean, are we replacing those tons or gallons? Are we replacing those at whatever country they were headed to before they came here? Are we stockpiling?
I think it's more of the fear of what is going to happen to this soybean oil market that's playing in it right this second. You know, if I look at the 23-24 estimate versus the 24-25 estimate, you know, ending stocks for soybean oil is going to be we're increasing, you know, versus last year. Production's up, so it does make you think that some of it is being replaced by imports coming in. So we're hoping that exports increase. We're seeing they're projecting a little bit of an increase in exports. So you do think that if we're bringing it in from somewhere, somebody's going to need it somewhere else. And hopefully we can fill that gap. But I know that there's legislation. They're trying to figure that out right this second to be a little bit more homegrown with that stuff instead of bringing in used cooking oil from other destinations.
Yeah, it's an issue right at the moment. That should be a sore spot. That some of that sustainability that we're pushing, we ought to be able to supply our own products for that. It's aggravating that we're not at this point. But anything else on your mind as far as the market goes and this preparation? I mean, what should customers be doing? Whether they're holding a handful of bushels or holding a lot, I mean, what is advice to them right now? And new crop for sure. We're hung up on old crop, but you've got to have some new crop advice too.
So. Yeah, I've shifted my focus to new crop for a while now. Old crop is just, it is what it is. The story's written on that. We had a phenomenal year last year. We've still got a lot out there. At some point, it's just got to move. So the opportunity there is much smaller than what it is for new crop. New crop, we have a little bit more opportunity to manage through. So as far as what's been on my mind, I just posted a video yesterday and sent it out to our customers that subscribe to prices and things like that, going over trends in the December corn futures market. And I wanted to go back and look to see where there were some similarities. You know, past doesn't always predict future. I understand that, but we do operate in a commodity market that does like trends. And we do see trends historically over time. So I went back and looked at a couple of different years where we would see a 1.5% is what we're seeing right this second of an increase in stocks to use rate versus the previous year. So like right now, they're predicting us for corn at a 14% stocks to use rate. Okay, so we haven't seen that since like that 15 through 18, 19 range. Okay, and some of those were actually 15.5%. But what I wanted to see was, okay, if we're projecting us having more of 1.5x, you know, 1.5%, what are some other years where we saw that? Well, we saw that in 13. You know, it was 1.5% more than what was in 12. And 12 is a year that everybody loves to talk about because of the drought. Well, we also saw it in 14. It was 1.5% more than what 13 was. So we had 2 years consecutively of increasing our stocks to use rate. And then we also saw it in 18 going into 19, you know, that 18 fall, we saw that. So I went back and looked at that and you can definitely see some trends there as far as what the December corn futures can potentially do. We've not found bottom yet, I don't think. If you look at the trends, it suggests we haven't found it yet. So with that said, the big thing is you want to be proactive right now, especially on stuff that you know you have to get rid of this fall. August usually gives us maybe a short window of an opportunity to grab something where we catch some crazy thing, you know, a derecho somewhere or something that may provoke this market to just give us 20 cents, hopefully. So we're losing time again, but we still have that opportunity in the first part of August. So my advice would be you got to get some orders working right now. If you don't like the price right this second, maybe see if you can get another 5, 10, 15 cents out of this thing. I think if you can get another 5 to 10, I'd probably be proactively taking it right this second. Beans, you know, anytime we're below 5% stocks to use rate, we get uncomfortable. You know, they're projecting us now at 10% for this coming. So we've not seen stuff like that in a while. And the soybean market seems to be taking a lot more heat right the second than corn. So I'm going to do another video on that. So if you're interested in that, you know, all you got to do is go to our website and subscribe to get our prices and updates and things like that. It'll be pushed out through there.
Just go to premierag.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, and just go to the grain page, and you'll find how you can log in and things do stuff like that. But these videos are going to be a little longer, but there's a lot of information there. But the overall gist of it is markets do typically follow trends, and right now the trend is downward. So if I feel like I have to get stuff sold, I'm doing it now before it gets later, because you don't want to do it at the harvest pressure. Because right now we have no reason to expect a harvest bump, really, until after the first of the year, when we see those futures roll to the March and June. And then even those in a carry market, if you look at it right this second, yes, the market's paying you more to hold it to those timeframes, but that's at this moment. So typically in a carry market, what you'll see is when we do make that roll, those deferred delivery timeframes actually come down closer to the nearby bid. Whereas in an inversion market, those deferred bids usually come up to the nearby bid. So inversion usually helps out farms in not making a decision, because the nearby bid's always the best bid, typically speaking. In a carry market, the deferred bid's usually better. But to get that, you have to lock that in now versus waiting until then.
That's good advice. That's good. So you had some success on your average contracts. Is that correct? I mean, you've gone through that with customers and still think those are a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, those worked out really well. And I always feel bad about saying that, because that means prices are lower now. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Sure. You hope they do well, because you never want a contract to do bad, but you ultimately kind of hope that might possibly be the lowest price stuff, but in the back of your head, you're doing it thinking that it's a good program. And it was, you know, for my Ligoti facility, we're probably 50 cents higher than what the corn market is right this second for fall delivered stuff. And beans, we're over a dollar better.
Wow.
That's how those average prices worked out. Yeah. So those are free. I do all the legwork. We just, you know, just tell me how many bushels you want to put in the program, and we run it. So
good.
They're That's a good awesome. Deal. Kind of something you enroll and put in the back of your head and forget it until I call you and say, hey, it's done. Here's your price. And everyone was pleasantly surprised. And the response was always, man, I wish I had done more.
Yeah.
But
hindsight will get you.
Well, that's a positive.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll try to get more of that out and participation in that program.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Aaron.
I think,
go ahead.
Yeah. I think what I just said of, man, I wish I did more. That is one thing that, you know, at the farm level, you can't look in the past right this second. You got to look forward. It's going to do you no good to look in the past on this one and look at the boats that we may have missed. It's not going to help. We need to be proactive on stuff going forward, instead of looking in retrospect. It's hard. It's human nature. But, yep.
Good advice.
That's where we're at.
All right. Appreciate the positive spin there. And, it looks bleak, but there are things we can do. So we'll be looking forward to having you back a little closer to harvest and getting an update on your facility, not only the markets, but how your facility's coming along. So you got anything else, Sal?
No, maybe get some pictures of the construction. That might be
Yeah, it'd be
interesting.
Good.
Interesting. So
that'd be good.
Shoot some over. All okay. right.
Nothing else.
Aaron, thank you very much for joining us again. All right.
Thank you.
That's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Make comments in the YouTube if you're watching on that platform, and like and subscribe. Thank you very much.
Thanks.